Hallelujah. Oh, my, 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 my. Hallelujah. We certainly praise God this morning. Let us bow our heads. Oh, gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for this opportunity, as always, to be able to come and expound your precious, wonderful, life-giving words, and to look into the essence of who we are, what we are, according to what, my God, you have decreed we are. And so we thank you as we come even this day that is known traditionally as Easter. We ask that you bless each and every heart, that we come and believe, as we leave, we have the understanding of what resurrection benefits really are. Now, Father, I ask that you touch my body this morning, that I might minister the word of God. And then bless these lips of clay. Bless us in this hour. To give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today is what we traditionally call in our communities Easter. A day that many of us observe, and some of us do not know why, except we just falling in with the crowd. Today, what we are going to do is in two parts. First of all, I want to say that the essence of where we will be focusing is resurrection. Everybody say resurrection.
Resurrection.
And the fact that we are eternally resurrected in Christ. In fact, repeat that.
We are
eternally
resurrected
in Christ. Right now. Right now. And that's the underlying benefit. Now, there are three verses we are going to look at this morning. Brother Deacon Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. There are all kind of verses in our gospel. First of all, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And lastly, Colossians verse 2, that is chapter 2. And verse 12, we may look at 11 or 10 also there. Amen. First, let's look at the tradition. Amen. We have been struggling for years, and we will continue to endeavor to distinguish between truth and tradition, because they rarely align.
Amen.
They rarely align. There is a document that you have seen. As we deal with holidays, because you know in our gospel, we do not esteem any one day
over another.
So why are we coming here every Sunday? That's the day that you have off from work. And actually, it was the first utilized in the early kingdom church. According to the first day of the week that Christ was resurrected. That's in the kingdom gospel. And Paul writes, and he says, we should not esteem in one day or another a holy day. You change the Y to I, it's a holiday. But we're not here to preach, as we said back a few months ago, We're not here to preach against holiday, and as we convey to you and during Christmas, that is a document that for those that are watching on our website, that we produced and is part of our documentation as far as doctrines are concerned. So it is called Viewing Christmas on the Matrix. Well, we're in the process now. It's not complete, but sometime this year we shall pass out Viewing Easter on the Matrix. My pastor, Pastor Colbert, who's gone to be with the Lord, used to always say, always know what you are doing and why you are doing it. And after you know what you're doing, you still may want to do it. Mm-hmm. But at least you know why you're doing it.
At least.
And then sometimes after you know what it is, you may decide not to. Now, there are some denominations that preach and teach against Christmas, preach and teach against Easter. Mm-hmm. No, we're not. And we will explain that. That is in the Christmas document, and it will be in the Easter document that we as a ministry, amen, will participate in, especially when you come to resurrection. Anybody's going to talk about the Lord, we're going to help them.
Jesus,
amen. Except we're going to convey it according to the scripture exegesis of that which is in our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. That basically is where the church, what we call the church, the organized church, Christendom, has become confused. First of all, mm-hmm. we said this, and I've said to the ministries, no matter who's standing up here, mm-hmm. always press the fact that you must divide this Bible by dispensations and covenants. If you do not divide this Bible by dispensation and covenants, what's the obvious result?
Confusion.
That's where all the confusion has come from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
The church is not Israel. Israel is not the church. And so we have certain things that have happened as we sit here today, and we said that it is Easter. It's Easter. Actually, as most of our holidays have originated, there's always some pagan god attached to it somewhere.
Always.
Amen. And of course, we're not here to preach against Easter. I want to make that very. Nobody walk out of here, anybody looking and saying, oh, they're against Easter. So we're not preaching against Easter. We're going to talk about Easter, not against Easter. We're not talking against. We're talking about to give you an understanding, so you know where the actual origin of the festivity, as we would call it, derived from. Mm-hmm. Amen. So that our understanding will cause us to focus beyond the holiday or holy day, and see the essence of beneficial as we are benefactors of
yes.
resurrection.
Yes, yes.
Easter, Esther, Esther, which is an ancient goddess.
Amen.
The term Esther, or Easter in some languages, is basically Pash, which that can be translated back to, and then again, you're mixing dispensations, and of course, in some cases, okay, in some cases, if you're not to be confused, you can draw from it in a corroborating sense, but not in a collaborating sense.
All right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. It's not to be placed on an equal plane. You never place the kingdom gospel on an equal plane with the grace gospel. You want to find out what our directives are. We are strictly into our gospel.
Ours.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, it is also called partial, which would be translated basically Passover. And of course, in AD 325, I'm going to give you just a few bullet points out of the document, which you have not seen yet, East on the Matrix. Constantine called the Council of Nicaea. You heard that. Mm-hmm. He did that because the organized church, depending upon what locale you were in, were all over the place, mm-hmm. and they weren't actually agreeing on anything.
Yeah.
His thinking was that we can authenticate a thing by all agreeing on it. And what came out of that council was what we call resurrection, drawn correctly from the scriptures. But while they were together, a whole lot of other things happened. In order to agree and compromise, each one that came to the table brought their own vision. And so from that, we ended up with Ash Wednesday. And by the way, Ash Wednesday is to this day preceded by what they call Mardi Gras. Huh? And Fat Tuesday. And then Lent, the 40-day period leading up to the celebration of the day Esther. What that's all about is that here is going to be a period where I'm not going to be able to do my thing. So before the period began, I let it all hang out.
Yep,
Fat Tuesday, I gouge on food. Mardi Gras, all the carnality in me, let's get it out. Because I'm going to be hemmed in for the next 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
Also, out from that came what they call Good Friday. First of all, during the 40 days of, there would be fasting, prayer, and penance. And this is why they would all get it, let's get it out there so that, you know, so. And I used to hear people say, what are you giving up for Lent? And in fact, in this congregation, when we first got here, I had to explain to someone. They said, why don't we observe Lent? I wasn't being cruel, but I was trying to kind of awaken them to follow within the essence of why you do a thing.
Right.
Amen. When you look to see what something is and what should be done, where do you go?
You
run as far away as you can from tradition to truth.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the only reliable place of truth?
God's Word.
God's Word. Mm-hmm. So I said to them, all right, just show me where it is in the Bible. I said, well, I've never seen it in the Bible. I said, well, I haven't either. That's why we're not doing it. We conclude our message this morning. We are going to partake in what they call the Lord's Supper, or communion. And of course, if that wasn't in the 11th chapter
of our gospel,
Corinthians, our gospel, we wouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we do it according to that which is given to us as a directive in our gospel. And so the week before Easter, what we call Easter, basically, and I'm just going to do a few bullet points out of here, and then we're going to get to the real business of what we're standing here for today. Holy Week. It culminates in Good Friday as a focus, and of course, as we were here Friday, and said, so, well, then why were you here Friday? Are you kidding? If I can get you here on a Friday afternoon, I'm all for it. But there's no way you're going to get 3 days out of Friday and Sunday, on the first day of the week. And of course, we got that all messed up because basically, again, that came from somebody misreading the word Sabbath. In the writings that detail historically what happened that week, what is lost is that Sabbath was a high, what they call a high Sabbath. High Sabbath is on a Wednesday. And also the Jewish calendar goes from 6 p.m. in the afternoon to 6 the next p.m. in the afternoon, because they're on a lunar calendar, and of course we're on a solar calendar as Gentiles, and so our day goes from 12 a.m. to 12 a.m. the next 12 a.m. But basically, High Sabbath was on a Wednesday. And so, following the Jewish calendar, from 6 p.m. Wednesday to 6 p.m. Thursday is what?
One day.
6 p.m. Thursday to 6 p.m. Friday is what?
2 days.
6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday is what? But that's the end of the Jewish day. And so, at that point, you go to the first day of the week. And so Jesus said that the Son of Man would be in the tomb of the grave 3 days and three nights. So you have completed that which was prophesied. So anytime after 6 p.m., he has fulfilled that prophecy, and it could have been 6:15. But what happened is, we don't think a thing happens until we know it. And the women waited till the next morning, and when they got to the tomb, it was empty.
Yes, sir.
So this is where we get that 6 a.m. from. That, you know, some preachers, they can really, really get down with it. Early in the morning, he rose early. Sounds good, doesn't it? Not necessarily the case. So as we look at all of these traditions, you have the lunar calendar for Israel, in Hebrew, and you have the solar calendar for Gentiles. And so what came out of the first council of Nicaea in AD 325, they established two rules. First of all, we're going to keep the different calendars. And so what they came up with, actually the controversies continued. So you wonder why, and have you ever wondered why? Easter, unlike Christmas, floats. You ever wonder why? Christmas, according to the church, is always on the 25th. Mm-hmm. Easter floats. Amen. What they decided is that they wanted to keep Easter on a Sunday, or the first day of the week. You see how you get handcuffs sometimes when you're into that kingdom gospel.
Amen. Amen.
And of course, at least they are somewhere within the correct zone as it relates to the time of the year. Versus Christmas with shepherds out in the field. But we're not there. That's in the document. But in this document, what is pointed out is that they wanted to keep the celebration of Easter on a Sunday. So they set up another criteria. You know what it was? It had to be the first Sunday after the ecclesiastical full moon that occurs on or sooner after March 21st or March 20th, depends upon, you know. You notice nothing in the scriptures is ever tied to them identifying time. You know why? Because there's nothing in time. Mm-hmm. But testimony.
Testimony only. Mm-hmm.
If it exists, it exists in eternity. Time is only manifestation or reflection of what exists. And then they set up these calculations, and that caused a little problem because in the West it's set for one date and the East is on another date. I brought along, and I hope I can get to it. Yes, I've got it. Going all the way back, let's say, to 2010. Easter was April the 4th for both the East and the West. 2011, Easter was April 24th for both East and West. 2012, to the West, Easter was April the 8th. Mm-hmm. To the East, Easter was April the 15th. 2013, to the West, March 31st. To the East, May 1st. Mm. 2014, they got together again. It was April the 20th. Last year, they separated. To the East, to the West rather, April the 5th. That's 2015, and April the 12th, 2015. To the East. Today, in the West, is March 27th. To the East, it's May 1st. And of course, they'll get together again next year, and it'll be April the 16th. These are things that are in the document. And again, because we do not divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants, it takes us further and further away from the focus. And of course, the holiday moves along from Easter, and the church set a period after Easter that ends on what they call the Day of Pentecost. See, we thank God for Israel, but we're not Israel.
Not.
And of course, then the merchants got in on it, as they did for Christmas. And some of you look very beautiful in your outfits and everything this morning. And of course, that's fine. That's fine. We're not here to... Amen. If your wallet can stand it, go to it. But what they came up with was the Easter parade, and that's everybody wear your finest. And of course, if you don't have what you think is paradable, you're going to go into the shopping district and buy. And this is why we end up with our Easter outfits. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that can be very, very expensive. And then you get into the Easter, Paschal greetings, clippings, decorating Easter eggs with the Easter bunny, and of course, don't forget the Easter lily. Now, all of this is in this document, which be basically. And don't forget the meal, the Easter meal, foods. Yeah, Deacon Gavin wouldn't let me. That he wouldn't forgive me if I forgot that. He loves to eat. Well, we all do. Which goes back to the fact that after they slaughtered the lamb and the Passover and put the blood over the door, and they sat down and they ate residues of it. So now, what's wrong with all of that? Nothing is wrong if you want to do it. The only unfortunate part is that it focuses us away from the essence of what the benefit of Christ's death and resurrection is to us.
Hallelujah.
That great benefits.
Yes, Lord.
I don't think Brother Pine reminded me this when I was visiting him the other day. He began to talk about the essence of being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest benefit of your salvation.
Greatest.
So, I'm in my body. No. In your earthly matrix conscious, you're in your body. You get this bad boy, flesh, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But according to our gospel, we were placed into Christ in eternity before we were ever encapsulated in fleshly bodies.
Absolutely.
The essence of in Christ is forever.
Forever.
Being in the body is temporary.
Temporary.
Even if you live 100 years, you have lived 1,200 months in some 35,600 and some days. Somebody said, that's a long time. Compared to forever? No, it's not. It's like taking a spoonful of liquid and dropping it in the ocean. Compared to forever? So you are more in Christ than you are
absolutely
in your bodies. So let's go to where we are.
All right.
So that we can appreciate the benefit of who we are and where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a long, long, long introduction this morning.
Praise God.
And of course, that document will come out for sometimes this year. Amen. And we're here and we're going to join in the festival in relationship to what we know. After we have finished the message this morning, we are going to serve communion according to our scripture. And then the youth will give their presentation and exercises just like they're doing in other churches, except we know what we're doing and why we're doing it. Amen? With that said, Let us go, and I want to espouse the theme. Repeat after me again. We are
eternally
resurrected in Christ.
In Christ.
So we are eternally alive in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the great benefit of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Some said, well, he did that so he can give us a chance to. For many years, we have taught and focused on distinguishing what?
Actualization.
By what?
By God's decree in eternity.
From what?
From manifestation in time.
And if you do not understand that, you will not understand our gospel, your contract, your benefits. Our problem is we don't know who we are.
Absolutely.
And we don't know where we are.
Where am I?
So, well, I'm sitting here and it's about 9:30 the noon hour, and I hope the preacher doesn't be too long. No, where are you? You're in Christ.
In Christ.
Having been placed there, with the justification being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You know, you go on a job, or you, if you are associated with anything, if there's a benefit, it's a part of it, you want to know it, don't you? If you've been at a job like at Ford's, amen, there's a contract that has benefits in it to this day, even though you retired. Right?
Right.
Teachers and others, automobile industry, and just about most of the jobs that are structured, amen, especially that are associated with big corporations and companies. That's a benefit. Our benefit is that we are members of the body of Christ. Now, what does that entail? Let's go to the scriptures. All right, Brother Deacon and congregation, turn first. And I'm going to be timely. Amen. We got to understand this thing. Romans chapter 6. Verses 3 and 4 is where we will start today. Now, many misunderstand that, and they focus on verse 1 and misinterpret that. And basically, the translators, because they didn't understand, they added things that basically are not there. Paul said, shall we continue in sin? Here, if you look into the essence of who we are in Christ, what's the answer there?
God forbid. May it never be.
Here you have the Greek grammatical construction, me yanato, which translation here is God forbid, and of course, you could put anything there. Then somebody comes up to you and they say, well, such and such, and he says, oh man, get out of here. You don't really mean get out of here, get away from me. What do you mean? That can't be true. That's crazy, that's absurd. No way. As many of us would say, oh, no way. And so what he was saying here, as others may translate it, May it never be, or it can never be. What did the scripture say it can never be? The reason it can never be is because there is no sin in the body of Christ.
None.
In my flesh, infiltrated, inundated. In Christ, no. So where are you? In Christ. This is what he's talking about here. Brother Deacon, write quickly, read verse 3 and 4 in the King James, and then, because most of us, now here at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize in the Greek interlineal. Simply because he has the Greek script and the English word under it. And sometimes he even veer off because, you know, it's a lot of pressure standing out by yourself. All right, read. Everybody has Romans chapter 6, verse 3, amen? Everybody got verse 3 of chapter 6 of Romans, amen? All right, read.
Reading from Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, first from the King James Version. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
See that? That's placing it all in time. And focusing on the body, physically, instead of focusing on the body of Christ. Let's go to the Greek. Because there are two words in there, baptize and buried, that if you're looking in time, it's one thing. If you're in eternity, it's quite another. Read.
Now Romans chapter 6, beginning verse 3, from the interlinear Greek text. Or are ye ignorant that as many as were baptized...
We were baptized. Were. That is in the aorist tense. And he's not talking about the day that you walked down the aisle and went up into the pool. He's talking about the you in Christ.
Amen.
That word correlatedly refers to identification. Just as circumcision is identification. It is physical in the kingdom gospel. But it is purely spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13.
Yes.
You are baptized by the Spirit.
By the Spirit.
So, well, I'm trying to remember who baptized me. And Paul said, I don't remember who I baptized except a couple. In the physical, as the church was transitioning from kingdom to grace, Paul said, in this gospel, God did not send me to baptize. In Ephesians, amen, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, he's not talking about physical.
No, he's not.
No, in the kingdom gospel, yes, it's physical, it's water.
Yes.
Identification.
Yes.
In the grace gospel, because it was something that happened, we were, he is the aorist tense.
Yes.
When were you baptized, or when were you identified with the body of Christ? In eternity. You see the difference? Who identified you? The Holy Spirit. We were baptized, read,
into Christ Jesus.
No, into water. Did they say water? This is nonsense.
Into Christ
Jesus. Let's get away from this water. Into Christ. Read.
Into the death of him
we were baptized. In association with his death. Verse 4.
We were buried with.
Intertwined. Inseparable.
That's right.
Inseparable.
That's right.
Through identification. Mm-hmm. Finish that up right quickly.
Therefore, him through baptism into death, in order that as was raised
as
Christ from dead.
God with him. In identification, mm-hmm. then we must be resurrected with him. What?
Yeah.
In identification. That's what in Christ is about. Mm-hmm. That's where you actually are. Mm-hmm. Finish it up.
From dead through mm-hmm. the glory mm-hmm. of the Father.
Uh-huh.
So also we in newness of
uh-huh.
life
might walk having walked. That is a what? That is an aorist subjunctive. So he's speaking about something that already exists. Some said, why do we go through? Someone said to me, well, Pastor, why don't you just tell us what it is? You have to go through all that. No. You don't want me standing up here just telling you something. I might have had a bad night last night. We speak behind the scriptures that are spoken, are written. All right? Let's go. Ah, Lord, look at that clock. It's beating me up. Ephesians 2 and 6. Well, let's go to Colossians 2 and 12 first, and then we'll finish up with Ephesians 2 and 6. Right quickly.
Now we're reading from Colossians chapter 2, verse 12.
Now let's start at verse 10.
Verse 10.
Uh-huh.
First from the King.
Lord, that clock is not going to allow me. Let's... Now, when we read from the interlinear, you follow along with your translation if you don't have the interlinear. Okay, as we say this to those that are watching or listening by way of a webcast. For the sake of time, let's go straight to the interlinear.
Now we're reading from Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, straight from the interlinear Greek
mm-hmm.
text.
Mm-hmm.
And ye are...
Stop! You see the Greek verb there, esta. Speaking of where you are and what you are.
Yes.
Read.
And ye are in him, having been filled.
Having been filled or having been completed. You are a complete product mm-hmm. in Christ. There's nowhere for you to transfer to.
No.
To transport to.
Mm-mm. No way. Impossible.
You are already in your glorified mm-hmm. form. Mm-hmm. Your conscience don't know it. Your conscience, you're in these bodies.
And here.
But where you actually are.
Actually.
The difference between actualization and manifestation. Mm-hmm. Read.
Having been filled or completed, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11, in whom also ye were circumcised.
Not talking about physical Israel circumcision. You are identified.
That's right.
Read. When were you identified?
With a circumcision, not hand wrought.
Couldn't be hand wrought because when you were circumcised and identified, there was no hand wrought, there was no physicality in eternity before the foundation of the world.
None.
So he's talking about where you actually are.
Actually.
That means something. Mm-hmm. That means everything. Mm-hmm. Read.
By the putting off of the body of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
by the circumcision of Christ.
Justification of Christ. Verse 12.
Co-bearers.
See that word there. That Greek word has the prefix syn, which means together.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
Co-bear it, or bear it with.
Mm-hmm.
They bear it with what?
With him.
How can we not be? In the decree,
that's right.
We are in Christ.
Yes.
In the same decree.
Same one.
We identify with Christ.
Absolutely.
And so everything concerning Christ, by identification, we are.
We are.
Read.
Co-bear it with him in the baptism.
Bear it your baptism. Mm-hmm. Identification.
Mm-hmm.
We are interred.
Mm-hmm.
We are his body. We are him. Someone asked me one time, will we be in the New Jerusalem? And this is Christ there?
Absolutely. Yes.
If that's yes, then does the head go anywhere without the body?
Not.
No.
Not.
Read.
In whom
mm-hmm.
also ye were co-raised.
You were resurrected with. Again, the prefix syn, Greek prefix syn.
Yes, yes.
With, together.
Mm-hmm.
How were you raised with him?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even born. You're not talking about the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the essence of who you are in Christ.
Absolutely.
In the one decree. You died with him
mm-hmm.
and you were buried with him
mm-hmm.
and you are co-raised with him.
Praise.
That's the benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Glory to Jesus.
And the reason you are in him is the blood of Jesus justified the fact, amen, that in the flesh you are sinners, but we are not in the flesh according to, oh my God, according to Romans chapter 8. Where are we? We're in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
We're in Christ.
Hallelujah.
All right, for time's sake, that one of these days I come in here, you all let me preach about 5 or 6 hours a day. I love those looks when I say that.
Jesus.
Amen. Jesus. All right, we're causes, and we, at the time we have some other things to do here, so we're going to just bail out. I want you to let's just. We'll come back to that. I reserve the right to come back to that at some point. Let's finish up with Ephesians 2 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason some get lost in this passage, again, as it relates to salvation, we don't know when we were saved. Most of us think that we're saved in time.
We think that.
Mm-hmm. You saved one day, you're sitting there, and the light came on, and you came down the aisle, and you shook the preacher's hand, and you repeated the sinner's prayer. You baptize. In some denominations, they take you into a prayer room, and you begin to, quote, tarry, whatever that means. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And with his Holy Spirit. That day, which is a precious day,
Jesus.
Is the day you came to the revelation
mm-hmm.
and comprehension of your salvation.
Of it.
When were you saved?
In eternity.
In eternity. Now, some people look at us and say that you all are crazy.
Hmm.
Ephesians 1 and 4. Three said, bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven blessed us. With each and every spiritual blessing. Where?
In the
heavens. Where the heavens? In Christ. According as he chose us in him. When?
Before.
What does before mean? And prior to. Prior to what?
The foundation of
the
creation.
Foundation. So before this body was manifested, you are in the body of Christ. All right? So where are we?
In Christ.
Well, it goes back to when you were saved. Verse 8 tell us that you are having been saved.
That's right.
Not you are saved.
That's right. Having been.
Through the faithfulness of Christ.
That's right.
Not of yourselves. Salvation, you being saved, was gifted. It was a grant. When? Before the foundation of the world in eternity. Of the creation of the world.
Yes.
Verse 9 says, not of works.
Not
anything that you did or could do. And because they don't understand that, verse 6 trips them up. I want you to read both King James and the Greek in Ephesians 2 and 6. Everybody at 2 and 6, Ephesians, amen?
Amen.
Read.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, first from the King James Version. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ.
Because they did not understand that, no, not many would try to explain that. But before you can explain or explicate it, you got to come to the correct exegesis of what the utterance is.
What the utterance actually is.
So let us go to the Greek. Follow along now.
Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, from the interlinear Greek text. And raised
resurrected us. That's the same Greek word there that we saw in the other passage. You see that Greek suffix there, seen, basically together.
Jesus.
Raised together. So you have as a benefit having been raised together with Christ. Are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Read.
And seated with.
Stop. You know in Colossians where it speaks about him sitting on, Christ sitting on the place of favor in God. That's what that's referring to. These are both what? Aorist passive.
Yes, indeed.
Aorist passive. A completed action that you had nothing to do with.
Nothing.
You are not only raised and alive in Christ, you are seated in him in the place of God's favor. Oh, give him the praise this morning. Where you are right now. Somebody said, well, where is that? This ties right into Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Let's go to the locale. Where?
In the heavenlies.
In the heavenlies. Where are the heavenlies?
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus. In the heavenlies. In Christ.
In Christ.
That's where you are seated.
Yes.
Right now.
Right now.
The place of favor. Right now. You're raised and you, amen, hallelujah, you are a benefactor of the benefit of being alive in Christ.
Right.
That's, oh, give him another praise.
Glory.
That's what this is all about.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
And it says he's done that so that, verse 7, that he might show heaven shown, because it's a completed act.
Yes, indeed.
What?
The ages are coming.
That in the times of manifestations, that the manifestation has not arrived there. Chapter 8 of Romans, it says that we are waiting for the manifestation.
Manifestation.
Of the sons of God.
Yes, yes.
But we are, because manifestation follows what?
Actualization.
That's where we are.
Glory to Jesus.
So that we have the testimony of what? Finish that up.
In order that he might show, having shown forth in the ages coming on, the excelling riches or richness of the grace of
That's
him.
Why we talk about grace all the time. His grace. What?
In kindness toward us.
Where?
In Christ.
In Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we are so blessed. And my prayer is that you will appreciate who you are.
Who we are.
And what he has done. What's the bottom line here? We're on a little small dot that we call the world, which is really the earth. And it's moving. So I've been standing still for that. No. You are captive to the earth's gravity, and the earth is moving 1,000 miles an hour. But it's captive to the sun. Which is moving so many miles an hour. Which is kept it to the galaxy. Which is moving so many miles an hour. Which is kept it to the universe. And scientism have come to the conclusion that it's moving because it's, they say it's expanding. You can't expand without moving, can you? But that's the last move. The universe is in Christ. This is why Paul says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, what? The work of the Lord, because you know your labor
is not in vain.
It's not in vain. Why? Because everything moves except Christ. He is.
Yes.
And because he is, we are. And no matter what happens out there, as they say, happens to you, nothing can actually happen to you. Oh, yes. As Paul writes in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, this body is destroyed. Maybe haven't been destroyed, but we have. We are what? A body in the of Christ that is not made with hands. Eternal.
Eternal.
Everybody say eternal.
Eternal.
Where is eternity?
In the heavens.
Where is in Christ?
In Christ.
And that's the benefit.
That is.
The word alive or live means exist.
Jesus.
To exist, you are. So but do these bodies exist? In manifestation?
Manifestation only.
But only as manifestation lasts. It's like having ice that melts. When the manifestation passes, the body pass.
Jesus.
But we're not held captive to our bodies. We're held captive in Christ. So we are because we're alive. Oh, give God a praise.
Hey.
Magnify him. Glorify him. Give him honor and glory.